9 minutes after the hour, welcome back to Dr. Bill Meyer Live. Bill Arnold in studio today. You know, do you find yourself dependent on approval from someone else for your self-worth and identity? If that's the case, you might be struggling a little bit with codependency. You know, I oftentimes think of codependency only in relationships where there's an addict in the house or in the relationship, but that's not necessarily the case. Here to process all this and discuss this, Todd Mullican, the owner of Mullican Counseling Center in Edina, and he's back on the studio line. Todd, good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
All right. Now, if we're looking for approval from someone else, we might be in trouble, but come on, we all want approval from someone else, right?
We do. We all have a need to be loved and acknowledged. You're right. So that in and of itself is okay at some level, right?
Right.
But usually the more codependent type is really into that all the time. And oftentimes what happens is they, from their own perspective, from their own place, but also their, you know, the person they're dating or a friend or married to, that person becomes very controlling of them. And so codependent types are very easily controlled by others. So they tend to be very passive. And actually their biggest issue is they don't usually tell the truth, which just sounds weird. It sounds like, well, they're pathological liars, and they're not. They just tend not to say what their truth is because they don't want to maybe hurt the other person's feelings or cause a conflict or, you know, rock the boat, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. So they're walking on eggshells, which is no fun. That's no fun.
No, they take on the feelings of others. And there's lots of scriptures that, you know, help us align with that type of personality if we're not careful, you know, carry each other's burdens and, you know, turn the other cheek. And so it's easy to, you know, if you will, spiritualize it as a believer. And next thing you know, you're very controlled and you aren't really sharing your own truth. You know, and the scriptures also say, Romans 12:9, love must be sincere. You know, speak truth to your neighbor in Ephesians 4. So, you know, it's a good thing to recognize, oh, my goodness, I am kind of feeling controlled by this person I'm living with, and it's not really helping. And if I'm in a marriage, then actually, and if I have children, I'm actually modeling for my children being controlled, and that's no good because sometimes they might develop a relationship someday down the road where they're being controlled, and we don't want that.
Mm-hmm. Now, Todd, the need for approval, I mean, that's hardwired into our DNA, isn't it? I mean, I know men in their 50s and 60s still trying to win their father's approval. I'm going, come on, give it up.
Yeah, and sometimes what we're trying to do is, you know, gets back, I think, for most of us to an attachment issue where, you know, you and I hopefully have a very secure attachment with our Heavenly Father where we go to Him for love, approval, acceptance, correction, and then we go out and play in the sandbox. You know, we receive that love, we know we're loved, then we go out and play. But oftentimes, if people didn't receive that in their home growing up, they can be more vulnerable to a codependent relationship where they develop an insecure attachment on somebody else because they didn't have that trust that they developed with the parents. So they end up, you know, being very controlled or very, and oftentimes they will be vulnerable to being with a narcissistic type of person, which is very difficult because narcissists have lots of issues.
Mm-hmm. Will codependent people be more likely to try to manipulate outcomes in their relationships?
Well, I think what they'll do is they'll say, I mean, I think in general, narcissistic people, I mean, one of the 9 symptoms of a narcissist is to exploit others. So it doesn't mean codependents don't. But they will try to do, I think, the thing that makes it the softest landing for everybody. Mm-hmm. They want everybody to sing kumbaya at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. They don't want any conflicts because usually they have anxiety about conflict. So I think in that spirit, they might manipulate the situation, sure, to just try to minimize. You know, in general, codependents minimize an issue and their partner tends to awfulize an issue. You know, controlling types awfulize an issue. So people always ask, well, why there's so many codependents? And I usually say in a dating or a marriage situation, oftentimes there's one of each. There's one person that's a little bit more directive or controlling, and maybe has the truth part of Jesus down really well. You know what I mean? They'll speak truth for sure, you know, whether you want to hear it or not. And the codependent type tends to be more of that grace person of Jesus. You know, they're graceful and they're harmonious, and they will, you know, show compassion. And you don't very often find two very controlling people together. Then that's pretty intense. And of course, I don't think I've ever counseled two pleasers very often, because they never make a decision to come to counseling. Because they're so undecided. What do you want to do today, honey? Well, I don't know. What do you want to do? Well, whatever you think. Well, you know, just come on. Let's be quiet and make a decision here.
So. Yeah. All right. Speaking with Todd Mullican from Mullican Counseling in Edina. And we're going to take a little break when we come back. Todd, I want to ask you to get things started after the break. How do we learn conflict resolution? At what age? When do we start? Who teaches us? And how dysfunctional do we become if we don't learn it early? It's 15 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Dr. Bill Meyer Live. Bill Arnold sitting in for him today. We'll be back in just a minute. Minutes after the hour, welcome back to Dr. Bill Meyer Live. Bill Arnold in studio playing the role of the above average interesting host, made only possible by my above average interesting guests. And on the studio line is Todd Mullican from Mullican Counseling in Edina. We're talking this morning about codependency in relationships. And right before we went to break, I asked Todd, as part of this whole picture, how do we learn conflict resolution? Does it happen at what age, and how does it start, and how do we get better at it?
Well, in a typical home, you have usually one parent that's a bit more direct and one parent that's a little bit more passive. And sure, once in a while you have a home where there's amazing parents that, you know, correct the child or guide the child and helps them initiate, helps them be autonomous, helps them build trust, helps them develop their identity in Christ and have interactions. And even in conflicts, make sure the children have their voice, the children know their own feelings. But oftentimes what you get is the child seeing one or the other styles of conflict resolution, Bill, which is either kind of having a need to win the fight or having a need to run from the fight, if you will, the classic fight or flight. And the child says, I think I'll pick that one. You know, and some of it has to do with their genetic makeup, their tendencies, but also just the styles that are in that home. So that's why usually in conflict resolution, when the little person becomes a big person, they usually are a bit, you know, too aggressive or a bit too passive in most cases.
So if there's arguing going on between the parents, will kids learn just by observation that when conflict arises, my heart's going to start racing and my blood pressure is going to go up because now it's a scary time?
Yeah. I mean, certainly the stress hormones are being released in one's body. That's the way God has made us. And then we, you know, also have calming agents that come in, you know, to our body biologically. Of course, the spirit comes in to guide us into truth. But yeah, it's really about, you know, I don't tell the parents to say to their kids, hey, come on over, we're having a fight, you know. But I also don't tell parents, boy, you know, make sure you never, ever, ever disagree in front of your kids. Because that's, I've seen as many people on my couch that never saw any conflicts as I have people who saw tons of it, you know. So it's more that conflicts are normal. Conflicts are in the scriptures. Jesus had conflict all the time with people. You know, it's not a bad thing. It doesn't have to be a bad thing. Can we try to learn, you know, how to reason together? So I try to talk about a couple of principles, and they're hard to do, but try to speak without offending and try to listen without defending. Good luck with both of those. But it's really important, though, that we create safer volleys in the home, where I could say to my wife, you know, we have three young adult children, but back in the day when they were all at home, I could say, well, God, I thought you were a little bit hard. We have three daughters, so I was always easy on the girls, and my wife had to be, you know, the tougher parents. And we still try to figure that out. But let's say I thought maybe she was too hard on one of the girls. I could have said, geez, I thought maybe you were a little hard on Ashley today. But how do you see it, honey? What are your thoughts? I mean, that's pretty non-offensive.
Yeah.
Or I could have been very offensive or interrogative and said, geez, I can't stand when you do that, and why do you do it that way? And, you know, so I think the lead out in conflict, Bill, is so good, so important to lead out non-offensively. And then I think if you and I are on the receiving end of a disagreement or person we're dating or person we're married to or a friend of ours says, geez, I was kind of hurt yesterday when you said that to me. You know, we could either get real defensive and say, well, what about you? You've hurt me too, and defend ourselves. Or we could say, well, you know, help me understand that some more. I wasn't aware of that. Or, you know, thanks for bringing that up. And have a reasonable dialogue. I know that sounds a little, you know, Pollyanna, a little lofty, but I think it's really important that we try to have dialogues in the home where we sometimes learn how to agree to disagree, but try to make it somewhat safe, if you will, where it's not so aggressive and also not so avoidant.
Mm-hmm. As we're talking to Todd Mullican about the codependent relationship and the ways in which do people realize on their own that they're codependent, or do they discover that they are because pros like you tell them they are?
Well, the good news, I think, Bill, in general, is that the codependent is much more often apt to say, geez, I'm feeling controlled, or this doesn't feel right. You know, they're very, you know, they tend to be very nurturing, loving people. And so they might share with a friend, or they might certainly be in prayer about it if they're a believer. They might bounce it off, you know, a pastor. And they also notice they're building resentment. And that's the dilemma of the codependent, Bill, is they build resentment over time towards their spouse because they're so frustrated because they don't feel safe to speak their truth. They say, well, it won't go well if I don't speak my truth. And I always say, you're right, it won't go well, but you've got to start speaking your truth. So the good news is usually the codependent is much more apt to come into the counseling process than the controlling person. The controlling person doesn't realize they're running their spouse over with a truck every day emotionally because they don't know anything's wrong. Mm. You know, they're just kind of, you know, being aggressive, and, you know, their mood dominates the home, and they don't hear anything, so they're just kind of going along. And so it doesn't mean it's all the codependent's fault by any means, but the codependent, the good news is the way God has made us is we are supposed to have a voice. You know, we are supposed to speak truth. We are supposed to have that balance of the truth of Jesus and the grace of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Now, will the codependent have a really hard time introducing into the conversation that they feel that they might be codependent? How do you talk about maybe I'm in a codependent relationship? Because the last thing you want to do is rock the boat.
Oh, you said it so well. And that's why they usually come back to me after the first week and say, that was horrible advice. I've never seen it again.
Yeah, yeah.
Because here's where it gets really tricky is they think they're outside of God's will when it doesn't go well, right? I mean, well, I didn't do that right, you know, that my spouse had a hissy fit, or they stopped talking to me, or they blame me for everything. And so that must not have been what God called me to. I said, well, let's look in the Gospels here and say that, you know, it's messy sometimes, but clearly Jesus spoke his truth. I mean, you know, with the Pharisees, people that needed to hear truth, he spoke it. It's not about being mean-spirited. It's just about saying, hey, you know, when you said that this afternoon, my feelings got really hurt, and I'd like you not to talk to me like that, and that's hurtful to me. Now, the controlling person is not going to receive that well, but guess what? Now we've had what I call my first boundary, where that issue is now on the table, and if that happens again, it's going to get on the table again, and that's the only way I've seen codependency be healed. And actually, that's the only way I've ever seen a controlling person or even narcissistic person get better.
Mm-hmm.
If they start realizing that, you know, their actions do hurt and their words do have consequences. So, but you said it so well, Bill, it's really tough for the codependent to take that first step.
Mm-hmm. Todd, when you talk about a codependent person or a controlling person who might be narcissistic, can you also use the word bully for that person?
Yeah. Yeah, because they have to be right. They have to win. And boy, you know, I'm a professor part time too, and I teach gen psych. And one of the psychological principles I talk about is confirmation bias, where we tend to have a bias to only bring in information into our mind that already confirms what we think. Yeah, you know, I hope that makes sense. So, you know, instead of me saying, "Yeah, honey, this is really how I see this situation," and all I'm going to do is get everybody else to agree with me, and I have to be right. If I'm content in who I am in Christ, if I'm confident about who I am in Christ, then my view of a parenting issue or a money issue or a political issue or whatever it is, I can be content in that, but I shouldn't have to beat somebody over the head with it. I should instead say, but how do you see it, or what are your thoughts on that issue, and have a reasonable dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And narcissistic people don't do that. They expect automatic compliance to their demands, and they have a strong sense of entitlement. Those are a couple of the 9 narcissistic symptoms. So,
okay, so I'm listening to the show this morning, and I'm listening to this guy named Todd Mullican from Mullican Counseling in Edina, and he's talking about this stuff. And I'm thinking, all right, I need courage to speak up because I'm feeling this codependency, but I don't want to ruin my weekend. So what small step can I take? What little small step can I take today? Maybe my small step is to start praying that I have the courage to take that small step. I don't know. Give our listeners some courage.
That's a great call, because one of the first things that happens is people have so much anxiety about it, and fear trumps their truth. You know, the fear that we get, and that's why Jesus said, "Be not afraid, fear not." You know, be not afraid, fear not. So I love what you're saying. You know, bring the Spirit of Truth and the Holy Spirit in, and say, you know, God, I'm just scared. You know, I'm frightened to say what's on my mind, and you know, hear His comforting voice saying, "I'm with you always." So God is still with us when we share a small truth and start changing the rules in our home slowly. And God is with us in the conflict. God is with us in how to protect ourselves and how to speak truth. Because usually what happens is the codependent gains more confidence, Bill, because they're actually releasing their truths. So even though it's hard at first, they eventually feel this freedom that they are now free to be honest and to be truthful. And they'll notice that that's the generation they grew up with, and they're seeing it now in their kids, and they want to stop the generational pattern. So usually once they get going and get on a bit of a roll, they can start seeing that they are free in Christ to have a voice. It's not about winning or losing fights. It's just about having a voice and speaking truth. And that matters, and it matters in our life, and matters in our kids' lives. And so, you know, I just want to give those codependents encouragement today to do that.
Yeah, thank you so much, Todd Mullican, Mullican Counseling in Edina. Always appreciate your wisdom and insight, and you've got a great laugh.
Thanks, Bill.
And there it is. All right. It's 29 minutes after the hour. Thanks for being with us this morning on Dr. Bill Meyer Live. Bill Arnold filling in for him. We'll be back in just a minute.